Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" We could just stop right there, right? That idea of Lord means that somebody is the master, that they're in control, they're in charge. All right? So if you have, we wouldn't call our boss a Lord, really, unless that's maybe in some cultures you would do that. But the idea would be as if they are in control, they're in charge. If they tell you to do something, right? Eben, mop up the floor. What are you going to do? You're going to mop it up, right? Okay? When mom says mop up the floor, you mop it up, right? Okay? All right? That's different, huh? See, we're going to get to, there's a difference between hearing and listening, isn't there? Yes. All right? And so he is given this series of messages here. Love your enemies. And he talks about a fruit. You'll know a tree by its fruit, about judging others. All right, and now he goes, "You call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do what I say." So really, was God Lord? Was Jesus Lord? No, because their actions were saying something different. He says, "I'll show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a home who dug down deep, laid the foundation on what? Rock. When the flood came, a torrent struck the house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and the destruction was complete." Father, we give you the thanks over your word. I pray you would take it and apply it to our hearts in these moments that we have, dear God. Your word is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, let it come and speak to us today. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. In our day, if we want to build a home, okay, build a new home, one of the first things that they're going to do is they're going to dig down, right? Now, they're probably not going to use something like this, okay? Because nowadays they have big equipment. The Costco's going up in Costco's going up there on South Lincoln, and so it's just just to see. But they're removing all this dirt, they're just digging down. Why? Because they have to get the foundation down. So if you're going to build a new house today, they're going to probably do some dirt moving, and then they're going to take a backhoe. They're going to dig a trench, right? And what are they going to do in the bottom of that trench? They're going to pour cement, right? Okay, they're going to put a layer of cement so deep. And that cement becomes the what? Foundation. We call it footings. That's because my dad did construction. And so that's what we would do. That's the first thing. You'd lay this flat layer of concrete in the bottom of that trench, and that became your footing, your foundation. After that had cured and hardened up, then you would start to build your wall, either of cement blocks or you'd pour a wall. Sometimes even used wood construction. You would build on that base. That would become your foundation. Now, in the Jewish context, you know, if you've ever been to Israel, I haven't. That's one of my bucket lists, okay, to get to Israel. But if you go there, it's hilly, but it's also rocky, okay? The soil's rocky. But there is dirt there, okay? But it's a clay dirt, okay? And we have a lot of clay here, but I think it's even more so clay there. And so if you're going to build a home, what you have to do is you have to, I don't know if they had something that looked like this, but you had to dig down. And you had to get that clay out of the way, and then you got down to the rock, the bedrock, and that's what you built a house upon. Okay? Now, the temptation is that they built most of the homes in the summer, okay, because it was warm. There was a problem with that, though, because in the warmth, with that clay, what happens to clay in sun? Gets hard, right? Okay, my garden gets hard, you know, even though I have stuff in it. It gets hard because it has that clay in it. It bakes. All right, and so that causes two issues. One, if I am digging that clay out, that dirt out to get down to the rock, what does that mean? That's hard work, right? If I'm going to get down to that rock, I have to bust through that clay that's like bronze. It's hard. It's difficult. But the second thing is it can be deceptive. That's hard. I can build on that. It's not going to go anywhere. But what happens when it hits winter and the rainy season comes? What happens to clay when it gets wet? Yeah. And so everybody knew in Israel that if you wanted to build a house a good way, you had to go through the work of busting through the clay and the soil to get down to the rock. And maybe a couple inches, it may be several feet. But you had to get down to the rock, and then you could start building upwards. If you built on the clay, the winter rains would come and the storms would come, and it would erode that clay away. It'd get soft. And then what happens if the foundation gives out? The house is just going to fall in on us, right? I don't care how nice a house you have. And it's sometimes a shame just to see sometimes a nice house being put in and the foundation wasn't done right, and it begins to fall in on itself. I don't care how nice it looks. If the foundation isn't right, it's not going to stand up. So, when Jesus used this metaphor, he was using it as an illustration that they all understood. They all understood the importance of digging down to the rock, even though it was difficult. And they also probably knew somebody that had cut corners, you know. He was kind of the joke in the group, you know, kind of like, oh, you remember so-and-so, you know. They thought they could get by and not build their house in the rock. And that guy didn't like to show up at events because they made fun of him. But the practice of digging down to the bedrock is still followed in Israel today. Whether you have to dig down a few inches or 10 feet, it has to be done in order for the home to last. So there's a few in your program, a few points that we want to jot down this morning, all right? First one is that to listen and obey is hard work. To listen and obey is hard work. And Jesus likened it to digging through that hard-baked clay, okay? All right? Take in one of these babies and see, it was hot in the summer, wasn't it? Not only was the ground hard, but it was hot, sweat. Wasn't much fun. But in order to get that foundation, you had to do that. Listening and obeying is hard work, folks. And what people want to do back in Jesus' time and even still today is we want to hear the Word of God. We come to church, we read our Bible, and we think, oh, that's cool, right? But the real work comes when we have to dig down and say, I'm going to build my life on the foundations and the teachings of Scripture. It's not enough just to know it. We have to listen and do what the Word of God says. Now, they struggled with that. I know we never do, right? All right? We read our Bible. We hear the message on Sunday. We attend a small group. But sometimes things in our lives don't change. There's no transformation because we're not building on that rock, even though we know it. And see, the people that Jesus was talking to, they knew the law. Some of them had, if they were a good Jewish person, they had much of the Pentateuch memorized. Just think of that, first five books of the Bible. They had it memorized. Okay, Barb, that's your assignment this week. All right? They had it memorized. They knew it. They knew the teachings of Jesus. Now, they weren't always applying it. They weren't always living by it. They had greed. They were worried about who was in position. Remember, we talked about last week, they were worried about who was sitting at the right table and sitting in the power position. They were worried about that. And Jesus described that they looked good on the outside, but inside they were like dead men's bones. It was ugly and creepy inside. There was sin inside. And see, we still deal with that in our day and age, right? We hear the Word of God, but it's hard work to build our life upon it. We have to wrestle with lying. I know none of us lie here. You can probably think back when you kind of maybe said a small lie, or maybe it was a big lie. You know, we could say none of us cheat or steal. I bet a lot of us steal more than we realize. You think, how so? Well, are you at work, and instead of doing your work, you're on the website, on the internet, looking up, oh, I should be getting that at Amazon. See, you're stealing time. I know you never do that. Or you're talking on the phone. Oh, you know what? They don't need this pencil or paper clip. That's pretty minor stuff, isn't it? Big one in our culture right now is sex, you know? Oh, you know? We hear the word of God. Jesus kept it real simple. He said, you know what? Sex outside of marriage is not part of my plan. In marriage, go for it. Okay? Pride, greed. I know those are not in the church, right? They are. And we wrestle with those things as Christians, as being human beings. And so Jesus came and he says, if we want to build our house, we have to build it on the rock, on his teaching. And to listen and obey is hard work. It means that you are going to probably have to die to some things in your life. There's some things that are going to have to die. It means probably some blood, sweat, and tears. Okay? To listen and obey is not always the easy thing. And we deal with that when we're raising kids, right? You can see the battle that they're facing at times. I won't give names, but there was one parent that was here a few weeks ago, and you can talk to her about it. But there was a battle going on between her and her daughter, and the daughter was on timeout, and she kept on breaking it, and so they sat out in the church parking lot, I think, until 12:30 or 1 o'clock, until the battle was won. And once the battle was won, everything was good. But there was a battle being fought. Mom didn't give up. I was proud of her. We fight those battles. And just as a builder had to endure the heat of the day and bust through the clay, so we must dig down into God's word and build our lives upon the truth of God's word. Amen? We can know the importance of building a home on the rock, and we can know the importance of God's word, but that does us no good unless we listen and obey it and put it into practice in our lives. It does us no good. You can have all the information about how to build a house, but if you don't implement it and build it the right way, it does you no good, absolutely at all. And we can know the truth of God's word, but if we don't listen and obey it and put it into practice, it does us no good. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Second point is that Jesus is the true foundation we are to build our lives upon. And you may take this for granted. Maybe that's just a no-brainer for you. But it wasn't for the Jewish people. That wasn't the case. In the Holy of Holies, I didn't know if you realize this or not, we learned that there was a stone that stood about 3 inches above the floor in the Holy of Holies. So the temple was comprised of two rooms. The larger room was called the Holy Place, right? And as you walked into the Holy Place, I believe on your left was the candelabras. There was these lamps with oil in them that burned 24/7. On your right was a table of bread, right? Table of showbread, baked fresh every day. Doesn't that smell good? Fresh bread. And then straight and directly in front of us was a curtain, but on that table was the altar of incense, resembled the prayers of the saints. And then there was that curtain, and that curtain separated the holy place from the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was one important key piece of furniture, and it was called the Ark of the Covenant, right? And so once a year, a high priest would go back into the Ark, the holy place, and sprinkle blood on there. It was to resemble Jesus atoning for their sins. So it was an atonement for their sins. It was the Day of Atonement. And they would do that. And so back in that Holy of Holies, there was a stone I don't know exactly how big it was, but it sat up about three inches above the ground, okay, next to the Ark of the Covenant. And what would happen is when the priest would go back in there, he had this pan, and it had charcoal in it, okay, hot charcoal and incense. Okay, kind of that fragrant smell, and he would take that back into the holy place. Okay, so what do? You have to have a place to set that thing, right? And so he would set it on this stone that stood up. Now in the Hebrew, this stone is called Shetiyah. Say that with me. Shetiyah. So it's she, just like she, Tiyah, Shetiyah, which means foundation. And so they would set that on there while they did the rest of the work back in the holy place. Now Isaiah chapter 28, I think, was tying in with this. It says in verse 16 of chapter 28, it says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord said. See, I lay in Zion a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be shaken or stricken in panic." So the context of this chapter is that they were placing, Israelites were placing their hope and confidence in other things and other nations. From the Qumran community, okay, we talked about that last week, you have the Dead Sea Scrolls. So they found other documents there other than Isaiah and Jeremiah. But some of the most reliable scrolls or transcripts that we have come from these Dead Sea Scrolls that were preserved in this cave. But from this very tight religious Jewish community, they had these other documents. One of them was called the Rule of the Community. And in this document, they talk about how they interpret this Isaiah chapter 28 about this sure foundation, right? And so they interpreted that to mean, I'm going to read it here just so I get it right. Their goal was to appoint 12 men. So there we go. Okay, there we go. 12 men and 3 priests that knew the law, who walked in truth, righteousness, justice, and humility and loving kindness. They felt that if they had these men in place, that if their leadership that was tried and tested, it would serve as a tested cornerstone or foundation upon which the community could move forward. That's how they interpreted. So if they had, 12 godly men that followed the law, they were humble, practiced justice, loving kindness, and then 3 priests, those men would form a foundation for which the community could be built and move forward. And so now, as you look at the Jewish community, how they had interpreted that they're thinking foundation, they're thinking of this, having this group of men forming that leadership base. And there's some truth to that. I think there's some wisdom in that. But what they didn't realize, so now Jesus shows up, and he's already landed one blow. Boom, right? Listen and obey, right? He's already landed one blow there. And now he comes back for the counterpunch. Because now he's saying, I am the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote. I am that sure foundation. I am the tried and tested cornerstone upon which you are to build your lives. Not this group of men that you have ordained or that you've put forward, but I am the one. I am the fulfillment of what Isaiah has written. I am the cornerstone. I am that foundation. You know, Friday night we had storms, didn't we? Right? The wind, the rain, the sirens. And Sarah wants to move someplace where there is no storms. I don't think there is a place. Heaven. You don't want to go there, though. Not yet. Not yet. We want you around longer. All right. But we know that we would like to have that place without storms, right? We had Jay and Gina with us, and we had the little girls, and so we did get a few s'mores made before the raindrops started coming, and then we had to go downstairs because the sirens went off, and ended up being a fun time. But we had a place to go, right? Jesus. For Matthew and Luke, I guess that's what I want to get at. For Matthew and Luke, the storm hits what? Both people, right? Both buildings? So the wise person and the foolish person, the storm hits both homes, right? And I think sometimes as Christians, we think, you know what? Once I accept Christ, it's just smooth sailing. No storms, right? It's paradise, right? But even paradise has its storms, right? Ask people in Hawaii or in the Caribbean. They have hurricanes. They have storms that come through. So that moves us to our third point. If Jesus is the foundation of your life, you can weather any storm. Scripture doesn't say that we'll never encounter storms. What it does say is that Jesus is the foundation we can build our life upon. He is tried, he is the tested cornerstone. And if we build our life upon him, our life won't be shaken. Now, I want to go back to that Isaiah chapter 28 and give you a little background. A little background to what Isaiah was telling the people is that Assyria was threatening to come in from the north. So you have Israel that stretches on that piece of land along the Mediterranean Sea. In the north, by that time, was called Israel, and the south was called Judah. Okay, so after Solomon, you have a split kingdom. All right? And you had a king in both the north and the south. And so in 722, the Assyrians would come down and they would destroy that northern part of Israel. Okay, and at that time, they were the powerhouse. They were the nation that was just, they were just chewing up other nations. They would come in and they would just devastate other nations. And they became the dominant power in that area. And so now they are threatening Israel. And they come in a couple times. One time, they are right at the edge of Israel, and God sends into this death angel, a bunch of them are killed, but eventually Israel falls to Assyria. And Isaiah is speaking to these people, and what Israel thought they were secure, and they thought that they were safe because they had made an alliance. Anybody know who with? They made an alliance with, I might take a guess, Egypt. They made an alliance, a treaty with Egypt, and they thought that through this treaty that when Assyria would come down, Egypt would come to the rescue. And Isaiah's mocking and scoffing him, saying, you know what? You think that's all going to happen? It's not. And God's going to judge you because you're putting your faith and your confidence in something else. You're not putting it in God. And Assyria would come down, take captive that northern part of Israel. And Assyria had a reputation. They were just very cruel and brutal. They would come into these communities and these nations, and they would capture the people. I've told this maybe once or twice before, at least. But just to put fear inside of people, they would capture them and they'd put hooks in their mouth with ropes, tie them to a horse, and take off. And they would drag a person to death, just allow them to be tore up. Can you think of that? That's just pretty, pretty cruel. They'd see a pregnant woman and they'd take their sword and whoosh, split her open and let her writhe in pain and suffer, bleed, and die. That was their tactics. They wanted to instill fear in people so that they could go in and just conquer nations. They showed no mercy. And because probably the lucky ones were the ones that got taken captive and exported back to Assyria. And that is why you have Samaritans, because the Assyrians married with the Jewish people, and you have the Samaritans in Scripture in northern Israel. It was probably one of the saddest days in Israel's history when that took place. You see, the storm came, and their house did not stand because their foundation was not built upon the rock of Christ, right? The rock of God. And so the house came down. And so my question for you this morning is, who is your life built upon? I don't care what your spiritual house looks like. We can make things look pretty impressive. The religious leaders did. They looked pretty impressive. They looked spiritual. But they didn't have the foundation. Their life wasn't built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He is the tried, he is the tested cornerstone that we can depend upon. And the second question I have is, listening and obeying is hard work. It's hard for me, it's hard for you. There's no way around it. There's times that I just want to do what I want to do. Can we be honest? Right? And that's where we have to die. Say, God, if you're really the Lord of my life, I have to listen and obey and trust you. That's what determines the wise and the foolish. The foundation or without the foundation. It's not if you know it, it's if you are listening and obeying and putting it into practice. I'd like to lead us in a prayer. And Amy had to take off early this morning. She's catching a flight. And Chris, if you could play that, if we can play that softly, that music. No video, though, please. No video. Just play the music. And if we can just play that softly this morning. I just want us to lead us in a prayer this morning. Victor, if you'd join me. And Josh, are you able to join me? And just join me up front here. If you need prayer this morning, I invite you to come. We're going to just play a song, Cornerstone, just as we wrap things up here this morning. But if God is speaking to your heart this morning, I think we all, even if we've walked with God for many, many years, I think we need to all look at our own lives and say, you know, have I dug down? Have I gone through the hard work of listening and obeying? Am I building my life upon the rock of Jesus Christ? And or am I taking the easy route, building on that hard clay, but when the storms come, my feet are being taken out from underneath me because there's mud. You ever tried walking in slimy clay? Tried going up a hill on slimy clay? It's terrible, isn't it? If you're on a rock, it's a different story. What are your feet standing upon this morning? Father, this morning we just come before you. You call us to put our trust in you. And on that day you sat around and you taught to the people. You are calling them to listen and obey. And you were talking to people that knew the Word of God, that knew the things of God, but they weren't putting it into practice. And Father, we need to hear that message still today, because Lord God, there's so many times that we have, probably daily, Lord God, that we are tempted to just do our own thing, because that's what culture does. That's what the other people are doing. That's what we see modeled. And Lord, we cannot align our lives with culture, with other things, or with what we want. We have to align it based upon what you've called us to do. We have to build on that foundation of your word and of who you are. You are the tried and tested, the true cornerstone that is straight, that is sure, that we can build our life upon. And Father, if we haven't put our faith and hope and trust in you today, I pray that we can know you as our Lord and our Savior, that we can bow our knee and say, God, you are the Lord of my life, the one I put my trust in. And Lord God, give us the strength that we need to die to ourselves so that you can be born again, that you can be resurrected within us, that we can know your power, and that we can know what it means to walk in faith, to walk in strength, and to know that when the storms of life come, Lord God, we don't have to have any fear. We don't have to be to run and hide, because our life is built upon the foundation, the rock of Christ. Lord God, give us that strength that we need, that assurance. We give you the thanks, we give you the praise this morning, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to have them just keep playing on that song. If you want prayer this morning, if you would just come and join, we'll just agree with you in prayer. Otherwise, God bless you this morning, and God go with you. Have a great Father's Day, okay? And amen. God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave.